everybody. It is now time for Union Talk. And we look forward to the second Friday of each month at this particular time. Why? Well, we have the heads of state in. Talking about the great union, the Association of Municipal Employees, happens to be the largest independent union, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of New York. They represent so many large majority of county workers, government workers, in areas such as child support, enforcement, parks, patient care, police, civilian, police emergency, public works, you name it. All of the representation of the over 6,000 active and over 4,000 retired Suffolk County workers. And in their usual spots, we bring in the fine president, Mr. Dan Levler, and his executive VP, Michelle O'Connell. Always great to have him. And a new member of the great union. We're going to introduce you to the VP now, Tom Moran, his name is. And we welcome him. Tom comes from Fire and Rescue Services, the unit there. We welcome all three, and a very good morning to all.
Good morning, Jay.
Morning, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
How are you? How are you to all three? New contract in hand and everything. Let's ask the president of the union how the summer is going. Dan, what's happening? Everything good?
Oh, it's been busy. I mean, good things are happening, but it's been busy. It's, you know, summers up at AME are very different than summers in most other places. Lots of events to go to, lots of things to take care of, but it's been great so far.
It's been wonderful. Michelle, the weather, fantastic and everything else. You know, I tell you, it's nothing like summers on the island, right?
Absolutely. The summer on Long Island is just the place to be. Our Parks Department is absolutely working all hours of the day and night to make sure that Suffolk County residents can utilize our beautiful resources. All of our parks are looking amazing. We're having more and more people head out to utilize, like, the beaches and Shinnecock and Cupsquag, Montauk, Smith's Point. It's amazing. Our workers are really, really doing an amazing job.
Question, Cupsquag, one of my favorites indeed. Let's welcome in a new member, VP Tom Moran. He comes from a Fire Rescue, the services unit there. Tom, welcome to the show. Welcome to the great union. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well today.
It's great to have you here. Give me an idea. Give me a little bit of the resume of Thomas Moran, new to the executive board. You are. Give us and the audience, Tom, a little background on yourself.
I've been with the county for 12 years, working for Fire Rescue and Emergency Services, otherwise known as FRES. What we do is we handle all the 911 calls that come in, anybody needing an ambulance, fire truck, any type of emergency that's going on the island. Prior to that, I did work for another PSAP, Public Safety Answering Point, for the town of Babylon. So for 25 years, my graduation from high school went right into this, and always been on the other end of the phone to the people that needed help.
Was that always an aspiration of yourself as far as wanting to get into this line of work?
Well, I come from a family of firefighters. My grandfather was a firefighter. My father was a firefighter. And I am currently a firefighter with the Northland and Hearst Fire Department. I served as chief there from 2009 to 2011. And I'm still an active member there today. So it's always been either I've been the person on the end of the phone answering the call or been the person showing up there to help the persons.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time, Tom Moran. You know, the island just does a wonderful job in all avenues as far as rescue and emergency services and everything else. I mean, listen, we have 3 million people here. There's no doubt when we have the fine folks like yourself really kind of taking charge and whatnot. Plenty, though, to keep an eye on the prize these days, right?
Yeah, the island is served by about 12,000 volunteer employees. So if you do the math to 3 million people, there's a large workload. Every year, the calls go up and up and up. Every department sees increased every single year in the amount of calls that they're handling. And that's the time taken away from their families, taken away from their jobs. Some people work in two jobs. But there's still people out there that give a large portion of their life to serving their community as a volunteer.
Excellent. Talking with the newest board members of the great union and Tom Moran, Fire Rescue. I tell you, he's done a heck of a job, no question. Give me an idea, Tom, as far as the entranceway into the union on the executive board. How'd you kind of all come about together here?
So I took my journey into the union as running right for the top spot in my unit. I became the president 2 years ago at the annual elections of all the unit boards. I served on a couple of committees that I was put on, and I guess my work there got me noticed, and I was brought up the executive board on the 24th of June.
What is it like? You know, you have a guy who certainly has the experience on the other side of things, you know, people that you represent. How great was it? How important is it, I should say, you know, to have somebody of Tom's experience and everything else, and now an active board member?
Sure. You know, we're very proud to have Tom on board, and grateful that he's willing to give of himself yet again in his life. Something that Tom brings to the table that I think is very important. You know, when he talked about being a fire chief, you know, he had to interact with people who were, they were volunteers. You know, they said, listen, call me if you need help, you know, and if there was an emergency, it could be, you know, these things happen sometimes in the middle of the night, and they're big, dangerous situations. And Tom was able to work with people who were just volunteering their time and get the job done and keep people safe. And for, like he said, 25 years, he's been on the other end of the line when people call in, sometimes having the worst day of their life, confused, frightened, obviously, you know, often distraught, and being able to calmly sort through that information and provide help. I think that's going to be invaluable to us going forward.
That is a great point. And Michelle, you know, sometimes I think about this from time to time, you know, of the services we have here on the island and the volunteer work. I think it goes under the radar a little. Some of these, and I tell you, it's unbelievable how people, you know, kind of come to the rescue and everything else at the most important of times. And a lot of these folks, volunteers, and why don't we forget that, I think, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable, some of our individuals here in some of these departments.
Absolutely, because we talk all the time about how our members are not only working to benefit Suffolk County residents, they are residents, and they are also the ones that are going to volunteer. They're on the fire departments. They're involved in the ambulance companies. So not only are they working just for Suffolk County for and being a member of AME, they're also working and volunteering freely of their time. And that's amazing. No, our members are amazing.
They really are incredible. Dan Loveland, Michelle O'Connell, Tom Moran, newest member. Tom, give me an idea, just for the folks out there. You know, we talk about volunteers and stress levels. It's got to be to the nth degree. Emergency situations, dispatchers. Give me an idea, stress level involved. Give us an idea, a little behind the scenes. The dispatchers, impact, levels of absolute intense proportions. Give me an idea regarding an everyday activity for you.
Sure. Well, like Dan said, you're talking to people at the worst point in their life. They're having some type of crisis, whether it's a medical emergency, whether there's a fire in their house, whether they're out on a boat in the Great South Bay and the boat's taking on water. You're that lifeline. You are the first responder. So the first thing that you need to know is that you need to calm that person down so you can get all the vital information, where they are. What's the last thing that they saw? What's the phone number that they're calling from? Most times it's out of a cell phone. And, you know, who's not been on a cell phone call that's dropped? So we need to gather that information right away so that in case we do lose them, we can get right back to them. Then we provide services. We're all accredited with the National Academy as emergency medical dispatchers and fire dispatchers. And it gives us the skill set to be able to handle any type of emergency, from somebody having a seizure in the middle of a store or a park, right down to childbirth. And every single person that I've worked with has had some type of emergency where they were able to help them through, and that is on a daily basis, call after call after call.
And it's amazing to me because, you know, it's all about job performance when you are really, you know, at a level of intensity. I can't even imagine it until you're actually in that type of situation. But really, everything affects as far as the performance is concerned, right, in levels of stress of that nature.
Sure. If you have a house full of people and everybody's screaming and shouting, you have to get the person on the phone. They have to be your hands, so to speak. You have to get them to a point where you can tell them exactly what to do, whether it's applying pressure to somebody that's bleeding, or getting somebody ready to deliver a baby in the home, or in a car driving to the hospital, pulled off to the side of the road. You have to be able to do that and get them to be calm enough to listen to your instructions, listen to you how you're telling them exactly how to do it in the order that you're telling them to do that. And that causes an amazing amount of stress just on the person on the other end of the phone, because you know the things that you need to say to the people, the instructions you need to give them, and you need to have them fully understand it and be able to perform until the responders and the volunteers on Long Island do get to them to take over.
You know, I was thinking about this while you were getting ready to come on today, Tom. You know, I think of it, you mentioned the numbers, 12,000 or so, 3 million people, 12,000 working. And listen, it's not a normal, you know, type of hourly position here. There's plenty of overtime, I would have to imagine. How does that, the extra hours involved in the intensity of it all, how does that kind of impact the morale as far as everything is concerned? What can you tell us about that, the OT and the morale?
Well, you know, the workforce there, it's not a job that if I'm working and somebody that's supposed to be relieving me calls in sick, has an emergency of their own and can't get to work, I would have to stay, because it's not a desk job or somewhere else where there's, well, Tom's not in today. Somebody's got to do the job that I'm expected. Somebody's got to be at the end of the phone to answer the residents of Suffolk County. So 16-hour tours are not uncommon in being a dispatcher for fire rescue.
And that's all part of the challenging aspects as far as the unit leadership is concerned, right? I mean, there is plenty to keep an eye on at the helm there, correct?
Sure. You worry about people. They have their own lives going on at home. They have their own situations. And then to come to work and you work 8 hours and then all of a sudden now you're working 16 hours, you're going to go home and come back for a 16-hour shift. You have what we call a quick turnaround, which is you get off from your 16-hour tour, have 8 hours off, and then you're immediately back at work trying to deal with other people's emergencies plus what you're hearing on the other end of the phone. It's the dispatchers there go through a huge stress level. Some people have the best calls. Some people have the hardest calls. But it's all about the staffing levels. We all have to have enough people to do our job. We don't just take this job and immediately you're thrown into the lion's den, so to speak. You have to go through 6 months of training before you're even able to work on your own. So if we lose somebody and have to replace them, it takes the hiring process, civil service, that's a whole thing that they have to go to, then train them for 6 months to finally get them out into the field. And that's if they pass their 6 months training. Some people take this job and think they're really interested in it and start getting that stress level of taking calls and say, hey, this is not for me. So we always have to have plenty of staff, more than enough staff.
No question, a definite special skill set needed here. Can you give us one issue, maybe most proud of working on during your tenure as a union, as a unit president, Tom? Can you give the folks out there maybe an incident or two that you were involved in that you are most proud of and kind of maybe will always remember?
It's just about making awareness. As like a unit president, you're site-specific to what your unit needs are. Now being an executive board member, I'm worried about the 6,000 employees and all their jobs. I might not know what everybody does, but I'm making my job to know who everybody is, what they do, how they perform for the county. And with my unit, it was just addressing to the board when I would come to meeting the special needs of a 24-hour unit. We work rotating tours, so sometimes my Saturday is a Tuesday. And people outside in the other part of the county, and even my friends, family, don't understand, why can't you be at this barbecue on Saturday? Well, I can't be because that's my Wednesday, and I'm also working a midnight.
That's excellent. Tom Moran, you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen, the newest board member of AME. Dan and Michelle with us as well. We'll get to them in a sec. So basically, Tom, the transition as far as onto the board, it sounds like you're right in tune. But any specific goals that you will have as an executive board officer here?
My goal as a unit board executive board member is just to make sure that I can be there for every single member of AME. Doesn't matter if they're not from my unit, they're not in a job type that I'm familiar with. I represent every one of them. It's like being a volunteer fire chief. You have a whole bunch of people that are on your staff in your department. You might not know their whole background, but you get to know what their skill set is. You know, we have volunteers that are ages 18 to 87, but you also have to use that skill set. Maybe the 7-year-old guy can't go into fires anymore, but maybe his knowledge, his background, maybe he experienced something that can make you better, to make you a better leader. And that's what I'm looking to do as a vice president now, is look out there to the talent, look to new ideas, and take this union forward as we've been going forward under Dan's leadership.
No question, Tom Moran Willis, Dan Love. I'll tell you, Dan, it sounds like it's going to be a nice transition there for Tom on the board. He's going to give you plenty of feedback and the experience beyond. I mean, that is it sounds to me like a wonderful hire there, and that's somebody that will really give you, you know, kind of a firsthand look within the ranks.
You know, Jay, I think one of the calls he's going to remember for the rest of his life is the one that I placed to him to ask him to come up here, because it really is a lot of work. And as time goes on, he's definitely going to get a sense of, wow, you know, we're really always busy. And, you know, Tom's always been busy. I mean, this is just who he is. Yeah, I'm proud to have him up here, and there will be no shortage of things for us to do together. So I think this is going to be great.
I think so, no question. Dan Michelle here, Tom Moran, AME. Dan, the last time we spoke, everything was great. The contract in place, ratification and everything else. Give us an idea since, in the last 30 or so, the ins and outs, reactions and whatnot, people satisfied, you had the event, people happy and everything else. Give me an idea regarding some of the membership there.
Sure. So we the contract passed with the supermajority, which we were very happy with. And we've gotten a lot of feedback. By and large, our membership, it took some time, but they started understanding this complicated deal. And now it's at the point of implementation, and people are starting to see some of these things phase in, and they're very happy about it. Is there still people that have misinformation? You know, there was a group that worked really hard against this whole thing. They wanted nothing more than to see this fail. That misinformation that they got out into the world ended up with some of the most outlandish stories I've ever heard. And as time has gone on, most people have started, you know, not reacting to those stories and saying, you know what, that's too far-fetched. Even, you know, even if I thought, you know, they were ill intentions, that's too far-fetched. So we're seeing that start to calm down, and we're just making sure that we're out there and keeping people in the loop as to what the contract really meant for them. And we're keeping an eye on making sure that the contract is implemented correctly, because I think the worst thing for the county and morale of the workforce would be to accidentally misinterpret a provision and something not be implemented correctly. And, you know, then there's all this upheaval and everything else. So we've been working really close with them to make sure that all the provisions of the contract are implemented correctly, and we're going to be all over any you know, outcropping of issues that do pop up. We're going to be right on top of.
That point by Dan Michelle. You know, the fact is, you know, your information flies in and around. You got to make sure it's correct, that people hear it the right way. That to me is a very important component in all of this, right?
It absolutely is, and so many of our members were confused by a lot of the components that were within this contract. It was a very, very, very complex deal. And so we have been, the entire executive board has been out and talking, and we're taking phone calls. And if you take 5 minutes and actually explain and answer all of their questions, and then they'll turn around and talk to their friends and coworkers and explain those answers. So the information has been getting out correctly, and everybody's settling down, and everyone that we were talking to is much more positive now that they're understanding what exactly the contract is going to mean for them at each stage of their employment, whether they're at the beginning, the middle, or contemplating retirement, because every person within AME would receive some sort of positive benefit from this contract.
Yeah, and Jay, the major disconnect I think that's still out there is the difference between our deal, this contract that we secured for the membership, and what's happening with healthcare. Because the things happened simultaneously, You know, the impression is that, you know, one thing caused the other or vice versa. But the fact of the matter is they were two separate things negotiated by two separate groups. And our biggest area of impact was always going to be on the contract for our membership. And I think that we delivered, and I think that people realize that we delivered. And as much as people are not happy about contributing, still 98% of their health care is contribution-free. And we're doing everything we can to manage costs and make sure that our members have and continue to have access to great health care options in a way that doesn't break the bank.
And to me, healthcare is such an important topic when it comes to this type of stuff. Listen, here's the bottom line. You're never going to please 100% of the folks out there somehow. And that's why, you know, these contracts, and you'll agree, I'm sure, Dan and Michelle, in the fact that it's all about a negotiation. It's about coming to some sort of median here in which, you know, you could find some you know, common ground, so to speak. And that's why, you know, there's a lot of touch and go regarding this stuff. But quite frankly, that's what a negotiation is all about, you know?
Sure. And you have to be balanced to some degree. You know, we talk about it all the time. I think pretty much every time we've been on this show, we've talked about it. I mean, Michelle mentioned it earlier today. Our members are, one, employees of the county, but two, they're also residents. And so there's that balancing act of making sure that we do what's fair and right for the workforce, but that we don't price everyone out of Suffolk County in the first place. You know, that there has to be that balance. And as much as possible, we had to find solutions, understanding the fiscal climate in Suffolk County. You know, I mean, you don't have to go very far to find information to say the Suffolk County doesn't have the resources it had in the late 80s, early 90s. And so there's a level of responsibility that I think all union leaders carry, along with the people on management, to make sure that the things that we do on behalf of the workforce are sustainable. And so that was the balancing act here.
No question. Dan, Michelle, Tom here with us. A couple of minutes remain. Now, with that being said, you know, Dan, I'll tell you, you know, this is going to be an exciting stretch run here. We got 6 months. You know, one of the things always exciting on Long Island is the electoral season. And there's a lot of touch and go and everything else here. I always look to you guys as far as, you know, the races. You got some big ones, endorsements, key. What comes out of AME? I would imagine at this point in time, you know, screenings already for some of these races. You got the county exec race. We know how contentious that's going to be. You got 18 legislators up for grabs here. You got supervisors in and out. I'll tell you, it's going to be a heck of a run here in the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, Jay. And, you know, a little peek behind the curtain, so to speak. You know, so when we look at these things, we're very concerned. Most specifically about whoever ends up being elected, whoever we end up endorsing, we want to make sure that they understand us and our issues. That, and that they're willing to work on them, and finally, that they're actually able to execute on that willingness. And again, that peek behind the curtain, you know, when we're looking at certain things, you know, a simple story in the newspaper, you know, they talk about, oh, we got to get rid of the red light camera program. Well, that means a little something more to me than just the inconvenience of what could happen at an intersection where these red light cameras are installed. Now, the majority of the time I say the word inconvenience is you might end up with a ticket for blowing a light. You know, it's not quite an inconvenience to be rear-ended. But those T-bone accidents, those pass-through intersections where there are fatalities, it's being alleged that they're down. Some legislators have questions as to whether or not that's actually true. I agree they should get answers to those questions. But what they can't do, from my perspective, is say, and here's the inside part, we're going to wipe out $30 million in revenue. Because when you wipe out $30 million in revenue, you're wiping out $30 million in services. And those people that provided those services are now part of the system and needing assistance from the system that they once were providing services to people from. So without part of the conversation being, here's how we're going to replace that revenue, anything less than that, to me, there's a level of irresponsibility.
All right, listen, I agree. Listen, the whole thing with McLean, the people who did the study, they have to answer questions.
Absolutely.
I want to see a little bit more clarity. And when I hear the fact they're not answering phone calls, that bothers me. I think there are plenty of questions and answers to be provided. I think the public has a right to know, and we'll see what transpires. But nonetheless, I do agree. There is a streamline of dollars there. There's a lot of questions, so let's see how it kind of plays out. But I think that the people at hand have to be there to answer those questions, though, from our leaders.
Absolutely.
without a doubt.
Sure.
Without question. So we'll see and await, but certainly a very interesting couple of months coming into play as far as prioritizing and everything else about qualities of a candidate. And very important stuff as far as decisions to be made.
Sure. And, you know, these decisions will affect not just our membership, but all the residents in Suffolk County. And that's why we take this process so seriously, because when we put our endorsement out, and it's like you had just said, you know, there are other people that pay attention to the screening process that we apply and other unions apply simply because they don't have the resources to do it themselves. So they look to see, you know, what do people who are really vetting these candidates, what do they think? And that's part of their decision-making process, too. So it is a very important responsibility that we hold for everyone.
No question. Very important. And you can make the case, you know, this is one of the more important elections. Listen, I say it every year.
Huge.
But this is such a big year, without question. And we just implore people to make sure that they are in tune. I think a lot of factors will come into play, the extra time to vote and everything else allotted by the state. I think that'll be a key. I don't think it'll be a rush to judgment anymore of trying to get a vote in. I think people will do their homework. We'll see. Very important times, though. And we await. Listen, can't thank you enough. Now, remember, Dan does a great show. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I was thinking about this with Leveler coming in today. You know, if I ever need time off, I'm on and I'm in a crunch. Guess what? I'm not calling Drew Scott anymore. All right. I might call Dan Leveler. And I'll tell you what, Daniel, I think you can sit at the chair now and let Michelle do the sports, weather, and some other reporting. I think O'Connell Leveler could be a new team in place.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to help.
But the show is great. It's Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, Suffolk Matters, right? And you got a whole new lineup and everything else coming into play second half.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, again, it all started here. But, you know, the ability to get these shows done and get our message out there, I think, was too important not to address, not to look at. And it's been going well. We're able to see that, you know, listenership is at a certain level until our show comes on. Listenership then spikes. And after the show is over, there's a drop off. So we know people are tuning in specifically to hear what we have to say. So that's another big responsibility we carry.
Hey, listen, great guests. You can hear it every Sunday morning right here on LI News. Right, Dan does a great job, really does. 8 o'clock, 8 to 8:30, wonderful job. We look forward to it. Great stuff, guys. Michelle, Dan, and, of course, the newest of members, VP on the board and everything else. I tell you, what a contribution he will have, Mr. Tom Moran, Fire Rescue Services Unit. Beyond Tom, good luck in the tenure, and we'll follow your path and hope to speak to you again. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Great to have you here. Tom Moran, Dan Leveler, Michelle O'Connell. Guys, have a great weekend. I look forward to August, if not prior to then.
Awesome. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Have a great day.
Always a pleasure.